Come on. Now, my mom actually surprised me today and just drove up this morning, 3 hours this morning. Come on. And she is actually here for the 10 o'clock. Then she's going to go from here to my brother's church over in Yukon to be in service. Then we'll come back, and then she'll drive back tonight and go back to work and stuff. But I want you to give it up for my mom right now, Janice Fouts, who's here. So on Easter, we asked you a question, okay? We asked what you wanted to hear, right? And so we entitled this series, You Asked For It. And we took your responses from Easter, and we kind of put together the top vote getters. And so the very first week, we talked about the end times. Second week, we talked about the Holy Spirit. This week, your third top vote getter was the issue of, get this, stress. Is anybody dealing with stress? Come on. So we took that, and so today I'm going to talk to you about stress. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word? And you can turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 10. You'll also see it on the screen. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 38. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Holy Spirit, speak to us today. Open our ears to be able to hear the truth of your word. God, may I communicate it clearly, but God, may your Spirit do the work in people's hearts. I pray this in your name, the name of Jesus. And everyone said a big amen. Amen. You may be seated. So you've heard this said probably before, that the devil is in the details. You find here in this passage that Jesus points out to Martha, "Martha, you are worried and upset about all of these," what's the word? Details. Come on, say it with me. All these words, details. Details. In fact, I wrote this down because I feel like it's so true that the devil uses the details of our life, okay, to keep us from enjoying the journey of life. Let me say that again. The devil wants to use the details of life to keep you from enjoying the journey of life. And the word that comes with that when we're not enjoying the journey of life because of all the details is stress. And stress, come on, that's not always a bad word because stress can stretch us, make us stronger. But more times than not, stress becomes a worry. It becomes something that weighs us down. It becomes something that's negative in our life. This week, it's amazing how sometimes I have people come to me and say, "Pastor, that message really hit home to me." What you don't know is oftentimes when I'm preparing a message, I'm dealing with it all week. It was crazy this week. I'm not a real stressed out type of guy, but this week, I had extra stress on my life. This week, I had a couple of nights where I stayed up worrying and thinking about things and dealing with stuff. It is crazy, isn't it? And I think the Holy Spirit was just saying, "Hey, I'm going to teach you a lesson up front and up close and personal so that you can better teach this message." And I'm like, "Oh, no, God, not please. Please, don't make it that real to me." But I'm dealing with stress. All of us deal with stress. I was thinking about this when it comes to stress. 47% of people who are listening to me right now are you're under a stress, load of stress right now. One out of five people, get this, one out of five, it's a chronic level where it really begins to affect you physically and emotionally. Maybe it affects your breathing, your heart racing, sweating, keeping you up at night. You can't sleep because of stress. One out of five people right now listening to me that's the case. It might not be right now for you. It may be next week. But all of us have a battle with stress. I made a list of a few things when it comes to stress that we deal with. One of those is relationships. Relationships is one that kind of can stress us out, right? You got those people that it kind of raises your stress level when you're around them, right? Another one, conflict. We often avoid conflict. I think everybody does to some degree, some more than others, that we would just rather avoid completely instead of dive into the issue and talk about things, conflict. Here's another one that may hit home to a lot of people in this place. You are stressed right now because I'm married. And you're sitting next to your stress. Hey, marriage can be stressful at times. Marriage can be an issue sometimes of creating stress. Now, some of you are stressed out because you are not married. And not being married is stressful because you want to be married. Another one is deadlines. When we have deadlines, we got stuff that needs to be done at work. Finals coming up. Homework that is done, needs to be done. All of those things add stress to our life. Come on. Paying bills. Wanting that little bit more money to come in, to write that next, and you begin to feel the stress of that. You feel the stress of demands at work. You feel the stress of your children. You feel the stress of a marriage. You feel the stress of, you know, relationships in your home. You come home and to your apartment, and you've got, you know, your roommates, and you feel the stress of an unkept place. You feel the stress. Deadlines. Another one is new job. Come on, a new job and relationships with that new job and the learning curve of the new job and all of the things that comes with that, learning the flow of command, the channels, how things work. Another one is no job. If you got no job, no income, that is stressful. Another one is illness. Come on, illness adds to your stress. Let me say this also, stats show, I looked this up this week, 60% of illnesses are related to stress. In other words, you got sick because of stress, and then the sickness even adds to your stress load. So it's a double whammy. But illness, 60%. They're related to head issues, migraines, stomach issues. Not all cases, but 60% are tied back to issues of stress. Let me give you another one, parenting. Come on, how many parents know it can be tough? Parenting can be stressful. I'm going to give you one now that I want all of you to stop and think about, because this is the top of the list. You won't find this in the research. You won't Google this and find it when it comes to stress. But you'll find it in God's word. It works. It's so true. Unresolved sin creates stress. If there's issues that haven't been brought to God, if there's hidden parts of your life, those sins in your life you're struggling with, but I'm telling you what, I cannot help you right now with your deadline at work. I cannot help you right now with your homework assignment that's overdue. But I'm telling you what, I can point you to a man who can help you with your unresolved sin. His name is Jesus. Amen. And if you come to Jesus today, I'm telling you, you can walk out of here with that stress off of your life, knowing that the blood of Jesus has taken care of all of your sin. That's available for you today. See, Jesus said this when it comes to stress and worry. In Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 25, he says these words. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. And when he talks about everyday life, he's talking about your food, your clothing, you know, where you live, your jobs, all of those things. He said, don't worry about that. Continue on, verse number 27. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And the answer to that is a big, come on. No, all of those worries cannot add a single moment to your life. Matter of fact, all of those worries can take moments from your life. Now, they may take physically time off of you. If illnesses is tied to stress, it can take time physically off of your life. But even if it doesn't take physically time off of your life, it can take away and steal the moments that you could be enjoying in your life because of stress. Because of stress. Now, I found that stress comes in two ways. Okay, it comes suddenly and it comes slowly. Okay? Suddenly it happens where you walk in, you thought the job was going great, boom, you've been removed from your job. Suddenly happens when you get the phone call and somebody is tragically injured or hospital or cancer report, whatever that, it suddenly hits you hard. And that is very dangerous. You got to prepare yourself for that, walking with Jesus every day. But the second one is even much more dangerous when it comes on slowly. You know what slowly happens? Slowly is when the details of life keep piling up on you and you don't see it and you think you can handle one more thing, one more assignment, one more load, one more, and all of a sudden things begin to unroll and unravel and you don't even know how to remove that stuff off of your life. It's the details of life. It's the busyness of life. It's all of those things. We learn from Martha here how to better cope and deal with issues of stress. Actually, and it comes through the life of Mary. And I want to talk about that just for a little bit. I'm going to talk about Mary, and I'm going to talk about Martha, and I'm going to talk about what we learn from both of them, because all of us have a lot of Mary in us, or some Mary in us, but we have a lot of Martha in us, right? Martha's the to-do, go get things done, get all stuff done, and the Mary is kind of set back. We need to find both of that in our lives. We need to learn to deal with the stress, and we can learn from each one of them. Now, when it comes to issues with Martha, let's look at real quick. Martha had some things that we probably deal with when it comes to stress. One, she had expectations. Write that down in your notes. She had expectations of life. Let's look at this. All of us have certain expectations. Let's talk about money. Let's talk about time. Those are two things that we have expectations on, and if we don't get enough of them, it creates what? Stress. So money. We have this idea in this certain level of expectation we have. And the reality is oftentimes money comes in down where? Down here, right? You know the difference between the expectation and the reality is called stress. Stress. Right here's what you feel like you need to live off of and what you want for your goals in life. Right here's the reality and the difference of that is stress. What about time? Time is right here. It's what I feel like I need to get the jobs done and to do what I need to do. And then my actual time comes in here, what? Because there's interruptions, because there's people step in, because the plans don't go exactly as I thought they were going to happen. And your time is here, your expectation, your reality is here. And the difference is what? Stress. Let's talk about Martha a little bit. The scripture says that she had a big dinner that she was preparing for a very important person. There was expectations, don't you think? I mean, this guy was popular. He was speaking and 20,000 people were showing up to listen to him. And she was preparing a big dinner. And she had all the preparations that she was dealing with. And so she's gathering, she's doing, and she's not getting the help that she wants. Come on. Money and time are two big things that impact us when it comes to stress. Let me give you a third one, other people. And you have expectations on other people, correct? And when other expectations of the people come in down here, it creates stress, right? She had expectations on Mary. Come on. The scripture says that Martha owned the house. Did you get that? It was her home. Mary's her sister. Mary is living with her, rent free. Okay? And so the big dinner happens. Jesus is in the house. They've got a lot of expectations on preparing a beautiful meal. And where is Mary? Around the stove helping out? Busy getting the dishes ready and cleaned and everything out and prepared and the food and all this stuff? No. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus doing what? Nothing. And I'm sure with Martha, she had certain expectations of Mary. Oh, we know she did. Which brings the second thing. Okay, these are steps. Expectations lead to evaluations. Come on, when you have expectations are not being met, then you begin to evaluate the situation. You know what you do? You compare with other people. You begin to measure them up to you. You begin to say, okay, this is what I see it as. And, you know, and you begin to, when you begin to do that every single time, you begin to get the short end of the stick. Because you always see everybody else as having more than you, having it easier than you. Come on, when it comes to expectations of life and we have this car that we want, this job that we want, this home that we want, when we begin to evaluate that, what do we look at? Do we look at somebody's home that's less than us, somebody's car that's a clunker, junker, driving down the road? No. We look at everybody who has more than us and we evaluate that and we get, oh, woe is me because I have less than them. That's the way life works. And we begin to evaluate. And the scripture says that she comes up to Jesus and she says, "Hey, Jesus, doesn't it seem what?" What word did she use? Unfair. Okay. That I'm doing all the work and Mary's doing what? Nothing. She's sitting here doing it. It doesn't seem fair. I want to help you with this. Okay. Somebody taught me this years ago. And he said this. He said, always remember this. Fairness ended in the garden. And if you'll remember that in life, it'll help you get through some things. Life is not going to be always fair. It's not going to work out. So stop evaluating. Stop measuring yourself up. Stop comparing to someone else. And you obey Jesus. And you do what he wants you to do. And you simply do the best with what you have and be content with what's been given to you and keep moving forward and knowing that Jesus will take care of everything else. Just do that. So if you got expectations, you got evaluations, all right? And the last one, if expectations lead to evaluating people, which leads to, get this word, envy. Come on, write that down, envy. So you have expectations, your expectations aren't being met, you begin to evaluate against somebody else and compare, and then envy begins to settle in. And I think Martha struggled with a little bit of envy. She's looking at Mary just sitting there enjoying it. She's doing all the hard work. And why is it that she gets to relax and enjoy? And there's a little bit of envy. Mary is the one also who came to Jesus and took the expensive oil, the perfume, and busted it open and poured it on the feet of Jesus and dried the feet of Jesus with her hair. Come on, this lady, she probably begins to think Jesus likes her more than me. And there's envy that begins to happen. And envy leads to stress in our life. It's interesting. Because when she does ask Jesus to deal with this, and she even tells Jesus, how many of your prayers you tell Jesus what to do? Martha did. Come on, you do, I do. She says, "Jesus, I want you to tell her to come help me and let's get this thing done." And I'm sure it did not help her envy when Jesus gives the response and says, no. No, Martha, Mary has actually chosen the best thing. She's choosing the right thing. What is resentment? Resentment is this. It's a discontentment or a resentment against what someone else has. Maybe it's a talent, maybe it's a gift, maybe it seemed to be favor, maybe it seemed looks, maybe it's the home, maybe it's the car. And envy in your life leads to stress. Every time. So what's the solution? What's the solution? Jesus gave the solution to Martha. You know what he said? It's Jesus. Everybody say that name. Jesus. One more time. Everybody? Jesus. The solution to the problem is what Mary chose. The solution to our answers to life is Jesus. Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Matter of fact, it's simply this. It is Jesus. Because everything else is fleeting and fading. Hear me, church. If you, as your pastor, I want you to understand that this stuff is going to burn up. That this stuff doesn't matter. It's all fleeting. It's all fading. It's all going to vanish away. Does that mean we shouldn't want homes and cars? No, that's fine. Go after that. But Jesus should be the first on the list. Jesus should be what we matter more than anything else. Jesus over ball. Jesus over education. Jesus over a home. Jesus over everything else. It's Jesus first, folks, because he's the only one that's going to last forever. And it's our relationship with him that's going to matter when it's all said and done. It's Jesus. So, let's talk about Martha then. What did she learn from Mary? Let me give you a few things. One, she learned this. Let Jesus carry your load. Let Jesus carry your load. Get that in you. Let Jesus carry your load. When my daughter Annabeth was about 5 years of age, she's my youngest. Now she's going into her sophomore year of college. Did I just say that?
Yes.
She's going her sophomore year of college. Okay. When she was 5 years of age, we were working in the backyard. I had this big pile of dirt that I'm needing to move from the backyard to the front yard. And so I initially started with the little red wagon, and I loaded it up and pulled it around like, this is going to take forever. So I'm trying to figure out a faster, quicker means without having to go get rental, you know, rent some equipment and bring it in here and pay the extra money. So I found this tarp. And this tarp had little holes in the edge where these rings could go, and I tied rope onto them. And I went in the backyard, and I filled the tarp as much as I could full of dirt. And then I put this rope, and I'm going to pull it around to the front. I realized real quickly, dirt weighs a lot. So I'm taking dirt off now so I can find that right amount so I can pull this around to the front so that I can give as much energy as I can, because I'm a man. I only want to have to do this once. I don't want to have to keep as few trips as possible. Okay, so I load it down, and of course, my Annabeth is helping me. Okay, she's at the age right now where she really doesn't understand work yet. My two other ones are a little bit older. They understand that's work, so I want to be in the house, you know. And so she is out there with her Blue's Clues shovel. Remember that? And she's kind of helping me with the dirt and throwing a little bit here and there, and she's all with me. And I load it down, and then I start to pull, and she gets around with me to pull. And I'm nervous for her to be right there beside me, because she could trip. I could run over her. I could fall. I mean, because this is, so I walk her back around back. She gets at the back of the dirt, and I say, hey, just push this dirt right here. Just push the dirt. And so she's around back. I'm up front. I go up front, and I'm pulling the dirt. And I can't see her. I'm just simply barking commands at her and telling her, come on, Annabeth, we can do it. Words of encouragement, we can do it. I'm sweating. I'm breathing heavy. I'm giving every bit of ounce of energy that I have. I am pulling it with every ounce of strength that I have until I get all the way to the destination. And all along, I'm barking these commands, come on, Annabeth, we can do it. And every once in a while, she said, yes, Daddy, we're doing it, Daddy. And we get to the front of the yard where I want, and I stop, and I drop the rope, and I am given out. And I turn around expecting to see Annabeth at the back of that pile of dirt pushing it, but no, she was sitting on top of the dirt. It was the cutest thing. Yeah, I think that we spend too much of our time trying to be the ones pulling the dirt and pushing the dirt instead of letting Jesus be the one to deal with the dirt and us just sit on top of the dirt and enjoy the journey and the ride. Come on. Isn't that right? Let him be the one. Let him. I think Martha forgot about that. Martha forgot. Oh, I'm preparing this meal and making a big deal of all the details. Come on, this is the same guy who took loaves of bread and fishes and he broke them and prayed over them and fed 5,000 men besides the women and children, some 15,000 people. If he can do that, he can take care of this meal. If he wants a meal, he will tell me to cook it. Otherwise, I'm going to set at his feet and then he will provide the meal. Let him. Matthew chapter number 11, verse 28. She forgot these words of Jesus when Jesus said these words. He said, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you, say it with me, rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find, say it with me, rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Wow. Let him carry the load, folks. Let him carry the load. Is that easy? No, because we want to get off and help him, because we want to make sure things get there quicker. No. Set on the pile. Let Jesus get us there. Whatever your pile of junk is. Number two is this. Learn to rest in Jesus. Learn to rest in Jesus. I went home to Spiro this week on Monday. I left in the morning around 9:30, 10 o'clock, drove down there. I spoke at the all-sports banquet for Spiral High School. And it's been the second time I've been asked to do this, which is a huge honor, to be able to come back to my hometown, to be able to speak for the all-sports banquet for all sports at high school and junior high. And athletics is a big thing at Spiral. They won state championships again. They had state records broken. They were celebrating all of that. And so I got to be a part of that. You know why I like going back to Spiral? Is because of the home. My mom and my dad. And namely, walking into the home that my mom helps create. Because as soon as I walk into that home, it's like the stress of life is gone. Whatever I carried all the way from Oklahoma City down to Spiro, when I walk in, it seems to kind of fade away. And for a little bit of time, I can walk in and I enjoy the food, I enjoy mom's love, the encouragement, the warmth of the home. Even if I'm there helping my dad on the farm and working, dad sometimes, oh, do you have to do this? I enjoy that because I am sweating, working hard with him, but it's not my stress. It's his stress. I'm just there to enjoy. And I can sweat and pour and give, but I'm not the one in the day paying the bills and making things happen. I'm just resting in the labor and enjoying. When we had children, come on, Shannon can vouch for this. We had children and we would show up there. Come on, it was a place of rest for us. Because when we walked in with those three kids that were screaming, crying, or whatever they were doing, it was like, let grandma and grandpa deal with them. Let them learn. We're not talking about learn to rest. Think about that. Learn to rest. We've got to learn. When the children of Israel left Egypt and they went out into the desert, they had to learn how to live life again. They'd been 400 years in bondage. They had to learn. And it was not easy. Come on, how many of you know when you work, and then you go on vacation, it's hard to rest, right? Because when you first go on vacation, you're still in go mode, and it's hard. You've got to learn to dial it back. You've got to learn to pull back, and you've got to learn just to kick back and rest. And usually it takes a little bit of practice to get into it, and usually about the time the vacation's ending, you're just getting relaxed. You got to go back to work, right? But I'm talking about learning to rest. Hebrews chapter number 4 says this, verse number 9. So there is a special rest waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors just as God did after creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that, say it with me, rest. Enter that rest. So let him carry the load. Learn to rest in Jesus. Number 3 is this. Last thing I want to give you is listen to Jesus' voice over all others. Learn to listen to Jesus' voice over all others. So, there are people in my life that I call. I've got about 5 people that I call on a somewhat regular basis, and their voice makes all the difference for me. Now, when I call them, I may be stressed, I may be dealing with something. I might not even tell them exactly what I'm dealing with. But just to call them makes me feel good. Obviously, my wife, my parents, there's other people, even some men in the church that I will call. If I need wisdom, there's people that I will call and I will say, hey, here's the situation. What do you think? And the voice on the other line seems to always bring clarity, seems to bring a difficult situation down into something very simple. And maybe I knew it, but I just needed someone else's voice. Sometimes I'll pick up the phone and call Shannon. I'll have a tough day and I just dealt with something. I won't call her to say, here's what I dealt with, this is what I did, and just dump it on her. I just call, and the moment I hear her voice, that soothing voice gives peace to me. Peace. The voice. But there's sometimes no human voice is going to matter. It may help, but there's something about the voice of Jesus that comes through his word, that comes through the whisper of the Holy Spirit, that when I'm dealing with a difficult situation, that provides peace for me. Jesus said this in John chapter 10. Look at it, verse number 4. It says, after he had gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they, said with me, they know his voice. Come on, do better than that. They know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Hear me, the voice of Jesus. I wanted you to hear my mom and my grandma's voice again one more time. I asked them another question because I knew I was going to deal with this topic. How do you handle stress? I wish I could give all that they gave. I don't have time. We took it down into just about a minute. But I want you to listen to what they had to say. And my mom and my dad, my grandma know a lot about stress. My grandma lost her husband, my grandpa, when I was 4 years of age. I'm the oldest of 29 grandkids. She was very young. She was in her 40s. She still had 2 kids at home. one a teenager, one a child she still had to raise, and the other two had just left the home. Here she is dealing with that. And then her third child died at 39 years of age and left three children. Her second child died in her early 40s, leaving three children. My mom dealt with years of depression. My mom has seen of 11 children that was born into their family. She saw several of them die young. And she had to walk through that with family. Stress, they know a little bit about that. I thought it would be good for you to hear how they've learned to deal with stress.
I've had a lot of experience there. And I learned during that time to just trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, Janice, and lean not unto your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge me, the Lord says, and I will direct your path. God's word became just fresh and new, and it was my life every day. And I just learned to stop and listen to God's word. And that's how I deal even this day with stress, because I know I cannot make it without the Lord and His word to help me through those times.
Well, Jesus is our best example. And the night when He was on His way to the garden, He taught us to pray. He prayed to the Father, and He said, "Father, if it's your will, let this cup pass. But if it's not, I'll drink it. I'll do it, Father. Just your will be done." That's the way we handle our stress. We bring our cares to Him, and we cast them on Him. But if we're not careful, we'll start reeling them problems back in when we get up to leave the altar of prayer. But we don't have to. We can just leave them with Him. He said, "Cast all your cares on me." And if we'll learn to do that, you just take your stress and your problems to the Lord. And don't ever say, "I can't do it," because by the grace of God, we can do whatever He asks us to do. It won't always be easy, but we can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.